Hello from the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at The Ohio State University. This is Writer's Talk. I'm Doug Dangler. John Herbert grew up on the East Coast and went to school at the University of Rochester. The memoir of his life, detailing family illnesses and finding love at unexpected and controversial times, is called Rules Get Broken. And he has stopped by the OSU studio today to talk to me about it. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much, Doug.
Well, some of the details in this book about your life take place almost 30 years ago. Tell me how you remember all these. You have some text from some of the people that were involved in the situations, but did you keep a diary during the time? How did it come about for you writing it this far later?
No diary, but some events in our lives kind of get branded into our consciousness just by virtue of their intensity. And I think it's fair to say that the 2.5 years that are covered by the book come under that category.
Okay.
Too intense to ever be forgotten.
Okay. And what's your elevator speech to describe those 2.5 years when you're talking to people about the book?
A combination of terror, incredible isolation, and then kind of finding a life jacket in the middle of a storm and being able to get to it and knowing that just maybe I'm going to be okay.
Now, there are different times in the book that you choose to tell what is essentially your story from the viewpoints of different characters. You always use I in the book to identify yourself, but then you'll speak in the voice of other characters. What led you to decide to sort of take on their viewpoint, not their first-person viewpoint? It's still third-person, but what led you to do that?
In the first draft of the book, it was really more of a documentary, a recitation of fact, rather than a creative memoir. And my wife, who worked with me very closely on the book, when she saw the first 15 or 20 chapters, said that I needed to give depth, I needed to give life to the characters. And obviously it was easy to give depth to myself because I know me. But in terms of the other characters, I had to get inside their heads and describe what they were, what I thought they were thinking and feeling, which was an interesting process in and of itself.
Tell me about that process. How was it for you? How did it hold your attention?
Well, I remember a particular chapter. My wife had been diagnosed with what turned out to be terminal cancer. She's in the hospital. She asks me to bring our oldest daughter, who at the time was 3 years old, not quite three, to the hospital just so she could see her. And in the initial writing of the chapter, I talked about the events of that particular moment, bringing my daughter Jenny to the hospital so that Peg could see her and say hello and say goodbye to her. And I left it at that. Typical, I guess, of a lot of men, the facts, I felt, were all that was necessary. Mm-hmm. My wife, in reading the chapter, said, it's great as far as you've gone, but what you say nothing about what Peg was thinking about, what she was feeling as she said goodbye to Jenny and you led Jenny out of the hospital room. And I had never given thought to things like that. So I can remember very clearly sitting in front of my computer and trying to put myself into the head of a woman who's very sick, who has just said goodbye or goodnight to her little girl, knowing that she may never see her again. I mean, Peg had to know that there was a possibility she would never see her daughter again. In fact, she never did. So, A, very difficult, but B, a very interesting trip to take.
You know, I've heard about memoir referred to as psychotherapy or personal or self-therapy. It's used a lot in therapy. How did that function for you in the writing of this book?
First of all, it was tremendously therapeutic, although I didn't know it would be. And I certainly didn't start out writing the book with that as a goal. in order to write about something, and let's just say a problem you're having, a thought you're having, you obviously have to A, think about it. You have to understand it. If you're going to write about it, you have to find the words to describe it. And if you're able to do those three things, you have a pretty good grasp of the nature of whatever it is you're wrestling with. So it's tremendously therapeutic. And for me, it enabled me to deal with aspects of my wife's death that I had run away from. Just could not find the strength to face.
Okay. And you're working on this with your second wife.
Yes.
And who's one of the major characters of the book. And I imagine that was an interesting sort of journey to take together as well.
Well, interestingly enough, the book is a result of Nancy's, my second wife's, prodding. We were down in Antigua, I think it was 89, one night, and sitting out on one of these open patios having dinner, very romantic. And I was telling her a story about something. And when I finished telling her the story, she had kind of a funny look on her face. So I asked her, you know, why are you looking at me like that? What are you thinking? And she said, I was just thinking that you really sometimes can tell a great story. You should write a book. Well, I laughed. I immediately dismissed the idea because I'm not a writer. I have nothing to write about. And I said that. And she said, don't be silly. You could write about your life. And I said, man, nobody wants to hear about my life. I've done nothing special. I'm nobody. And she said, well, you could write about Peg and her death. You could write about us and how we met and fell in love. And I said, you know, again, nobody wants to read that. It's not exciting. You know, it's. And she said, you know, I think you're going at it all wrong. She said, look at Upstairs, Downstairs, or Rich Man, Poor Man, or The Thornbirds. She says, they're not exciting books. They're just books about a family that are beautifully written. She said, I think what's most important is not so much the story, but how it's told. So I thought about that for about 2.5 years. And in September of, I think it was 92, I finally put pen to paper the first time and started sketching some notes that were the beginnings of Rules Get Broken.
Yeah. And how long did it take after that? What was the timeline for the writing of the book?
Seems like forever, but it was just under 14 years.
Just under 14? I like that you used just under 14 years, because 14 years would be too long.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. But I mean, in fairness, I had a job. I traveled a great deal as part of my job. I was in industrial sales, so I was on the road a lot. Had a family, 4 children. So there were times that 6 months would go by before I'd be able to sit down again and find a Saturday to just lock myself up.
So it was written more in sort of bursts than it was in being able to sit down and work on it for a long time?
Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, I would try to find a Saturday or a Sunday that nothing was happening, and I'd just lock myself in the office and work on it. I retired in December of 04, and one of my primary goals then was to finish the book. So in 2005, then I devoted myself 7-8 hours a day to just completing it and refining it.
Mm-hmm. How did that process feel different than working on in the bursts? Was it more difficult? Did you find it more draining, or because you had time to recover during the other episodes, right? If you're in a book, in locked in a room, I've done that to finish long documents. I did that with my dissertation. Never again. And you know, it's a very different kind of writing process than when you're doing it, as you described, over a long period of time, short bursts.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You do have time to recharge. And when I was writing in 2005, I didn't have the blocks of time doing other things, so there was no time to recharge. And I did run into this writer's block. I mean, there would be times I'd sit down and just have no clue as to how to change. I knew what was wrong with a given paragraph, but I would spend an hour and a half staring at the screen.
Mm-hmm. How did you resolve that?
I stared at the screen. I knew it wasn't right, and My interesting side note, my father was a mechanical engineer, and in one of his first jobs, he was having difficulty starting a drawing. And the man that he worked for told him that the best way to start when you can't is just draw a line on the drafting board and go from there. So I found that if it got bad, I would just start to write anything. Anything to change what I had written, and more times than not, that was enough to kind of get the juices flowing, and I'd work through it.
Did you write this in a linear way? Your book is done in a linear chronology, but is that how you wrote it, or did you skip around in writing the different pieces? What was the process?
I skipped around. I think you can do that with a memoir because you know the beginning, middle, and end of the story. Mm-hmm. You can't do that, if you are writing a novel. You kind of have to have an idea where you're going. But I jumped around.
Do you feel that there was did you notice a sense of a progression in the way that you wrote? Did you take the easier parts first, like writing about meeting Peg, your first wife, because it was more enjoyable? And then you had to ease your way into the more emotionally difficult parts to write about? Or was there no sense of a progression like that? It just came as it came?
No, there were definitely parts that were fun to write about for whatever reason. And then there were other parts that either were very painful to write about. I mean, there were literally times I'd be sitting at my computer and, you know, my eyes would fill. Just... So there were parts that were either very painful to write about or very difficult to write about simply because of what you're trying to capture. You know the feeling, but finding the right words and the most economical way to say it can be tough.
And that makes me wonder about the details in your book. You've got a lot of personal details in your book. I'm sure there were times that there were ones that were too personal. There are things that you've probably left out. What's your test for something like that?
I guess, first of all, I've read that when you write a memoir, you shouldn't filter it, because if you filter it, it gets dull. So I tried very hard not to. But there are some things that are just too personal, and you just... The level of discomfort you feel is probably the barometer you use. And there's a certain point where you say, I just can't do this no matter what. Mm-hmm. So you leave that out.
Okay. So it was the ugh factor, the
yeah.
walk away.
Yeah. There's a lot of personal things in the book, as you know. And up to a point, that's okay. I don't feel comfortable with having people know many of them, but I'm okay with it. There are other things that just are too personal.
Okay. When you look at the other memoirs that are on the market and things, how do you separate yours? What makes yours unique from the others?
Well, I'm not a student of memoirs, first of all, so I mean, my answer has to be general by nature, but I don't know of a lot of people who have had the same experience that I have. I mean, many people have lost a spouse. I've met very few people who have done what I did. Mm-hmm. So that makes my story, I think, unique.
Okay. Do you have other books in mind now that you've written this one? You said you're thinking about a second book.
Yeah, I'm actually hard at work at it. We talked earlier about how writing can be cathartic, therapeutic. I'm 63 years old. You haven't gotten there yet. But when you get there, I can assure you that you spend time looking in the rearview mirror and reflecting on, you know, the miles you've gone. And it can be frightening, basically. I mean, you know, you can't deny you're in the autumn of your years and you don't know what's ahead, and it's frightening. So the book that I'm working on now is called Last Call, and I'm trying to examine through my character the fears that a 63-year-old guy has when he looks back on a really great life in the rearview mirror and then looks through the windshield at what could lie ahead. Mm-hmm. And I just as an aside, that's an interesting process because it's one thing to examine things that happened in the past, i.e., in Rules Get Broken. That was, looking back, that was easier than to examine what is happening to me right now, what I'm thinking about right now.
So this is a sort of current memoir, but it's not going to be, it's not fiction.
It's going to be a mix of fact and fiction. My character is fictional. I don't know why I've taken that approach. I guess just for something different. But the character is fictional, but the thoughts he's going to have are my thoughts. The experiences that he recalls in this one night in a bar in Buffalo in the middle of a snowstorm, those experiences that stick with him are mine.
Okay. Is it you got your name, or do you give the character a different name?
It's funny. I started out with my name, and then I changed it to John Davis because I liked, you know, I wanted to use my name for some silly reason. And that is, then I decided, no, I'm going to really liberate myself and give him a completely different name. So if I want to paint him any color I want, I can do it.
Okay. Tell me about your finding a publisher for your text. How did that happen? Because that's a problem that a lot of first-time authors have is finding that publisher.
I finished the book in January of 06 and then spent all of 2006 and early part of 2007 trying to find an agent. I wrote to 256 agents. I was rejected by 254. But the good news is those 254, none of them read my sample chapters, never asked for a sample chapter, never asked for a manuscript, never asked for a synopsis. So I really didn't take it as much of a rejection. The letters that I got were funny in that most of them said, we don't handle new authors, which I really got a kick out of, catch 22 there. Two of them did reject the book, having seen sample chapters, just didn't grab them. And then in March of 08, I got an email out of clear blue sky, as they say, from John Lewis of Oakley Publishing. And he said that he had heard about Rules Get Broken, and if I was not yet represented, he'd like me to send him a copy of the manuscript. And what happened was that one of the agencies that I had sent my query letter to and who rejected the book, one of their agents left, brought my query letter with her to Oakley Publishing, and shortly after joining him said, you know, I like what this guy said. I think you should give him a look. So in December of 08, we signed a contract and movie rights, the whole thing. Oh, kind okay. of exciting.
Who's playing you in the movie?
I don't know.
Who do you want to play you in the movie?
Well, you know, it's funny. We've had lots of cocktail conversations. My favorite actor is Tom Hanks, but he's too old for this part. I have to say for this part, Tom.
Sorry, Tom. Next time.
So I don't
Maybe know. In Last Call.
There you go. Good thought.
Yeah. His Good Saving thought. Grace.
Yes.
Right after the next Dan Brown novel. He'll there be able go. To do that. What's the best part about being a writer for you?
Well, there are two things. Number one, it's if you reflect for a minute on what writing is, it's terribly exciting. I mean, you are taking random words and you're putting them together in a certain order that has probably never been done before to express a thought in a way that has probably never been done that way before. And I found that obviously, that's part of the creative process. I mean, you know, 100 people can paint the same lighthouse, but each painter will have a different brushstroke and different color tones and the like. I found that very exciting. It's also a very unique experience to be able to project yourself into someone else, even in a memoir. I mean, to get inside Peg's head and become her for a while thinking what she must have thought and feeling what she must have felt. That's a very unique and inspiring experience.
Okay. So what's the worst part of it? What was the most difficult part of it?
Knowing what you wanted to say and just not being able to say it in the best way possible. My wife, as we said earlier, worked with me, really as my editor. I mean, I don't know how many drafts, 6-7 drafts of the book, just rewrite and rewrite. And she was always saying that you can say this better, you can say it in less words. You know, it's very easy to say something in 50 words. When you try to get the same power into 10, that's, in my opinion, that's when it's really tough.
Sounds like you're making quite a claim for Twitter.
No, not at all.
What's the best writing job you've had?
I would say this book. Yeah, no question.
What's the worst?
Oh, writing a letter to someone explaining why you're firing them. I mean, I used to be in business. Mm-hmm. Writing a customer and telling him why his warranty is not going to be honored. Okay. I mean, it's...
Okay. So you've got this new book coming out. What's next on the horizon? Is there a genre after that you'd like to try, something you haven't done before? Is there a romance novel?
Well, by next book, are you referring to the one I'm working on now?
Right, you're working on Last Call, but what's the next genre after that that you want to try?
I haven't gotten that far. I think I see a progression from memoir, which is, you know, all fact, nonfiction, to Last Call, which is a combination of fact and fiction. If there's a third, it will probably be all fiction. I find that frightening because you're completely on your own to create whatever.
What kind of books do you read?
A wide range. My favorite light author would be Nelson DeMille. My favorite, I'll call him heavy author, would be John Updike. I think he is just incredible in his use of words.
What do any of those people, do you feel, have an influence on what you've written? Do you feel like, oh, that was an Updike sort of sentence that I wrote when you're done?
I would say, interestingly, both. DeMille in the conversational sense, because you really get a feeling for a character through how they speak. And Updike in terms of how in 3 or 4 words he can transport you to exactly what he's trying to describe.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much, John Herbert, for stopping by to talk to us at Writers Talk here at Ohio State. And I wish you all the luck, all the best with your next book. And again, his book is Rules Get Broken. It's available, or will be available, on Amazon.com and find retailers everywhere. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.